You have forgotten the God who gave you birth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In our gospel, this is a gospel that always pulls us in so many directions because we want to examine it so greatly. See, this gospel is actually the formative text which Pope St. John Paul II used to launch forth 40 years ago for the whole of his great moral teaching, Veritatis Splendor, the splendor of truth. Really examining the life of what it is that we're supposed to leave. And this man, being the rich young man, this rich young ruler, is really presented for us as a man who really does have it all together. Look, Jesus, he goes before Jesus, who is God, and he says, look, I've done all this stuff. All these things I've kept from my youth. What am I still lacking? And so it is a beautiful expose in that it is possible. Jesus doesn't call him on that and say, no, you didn't. He just says that there's something else that needs to be done. And so one of the curious things that actually one of you pointed out to me today, and so I researched it a little bit more, is a real great question. Why is it that he says, how do I enter into the kingdom of God? What do I need to do to gain eternal life? You would think that Jesus, who is God, would say something about God. But he doesn't, does he? He says, have you kept the commandments? Are you doing all these things? Are you not killing, not committing adultery, not stealing, not lying, or actually honoring your father and mother? He basically sums up all these things that have to do with our relationships with one another. He doesn't talk about God at all. If the attainment of eternal life is actually holding on to God and God alone, why doesn't he mention God at all? You thought about that ever? The reason is because he wants to show him that if he's going to actually hold on to God, he has to recognize his right relationship with those who are with him and in the image of God is. He really wants to get him there so that he can jar him in such a way. He's thinking about the afterlife. He's thinking about the end. He's thinking about leaving everybody behind. But God is saying, slow down. Take care of those who I put in your life first. That's the most important thing that he says, because he's assuming there, in a sense, that he's already striving to uphold all those things which relate in his commandments between him and God his Father. That's why it's beautiful that that psalm response that Nansen, you gave for us, says, you've forgotten the God who gave you birth. Oftentimes, we forget the God who gives us birth first by not remembering that he's in the one, or his image is stamped in the one who's next to us. We forget it that way. Sometimes we go to the opposite extreme, right? We're so focused on everything that's going on in St. Rose Charities or the various things that we do in offering ourselves as a brother of humanity or a sister of humanity, we forget about God. That wasn't the difficulty that this rich young man was struggling with. He was forgetting his fellow man in a sense. Forgetting his regular place that's there. And one of the beautiful things that I always am struck by is where it says in here that Jesus, it doesn't say it in the Matthew account, it says it in the Lucan account of the same story. It says Jesus looked upon him and loved him. Looking upon him, he loved him. Oftentimes we forget that God looks on us with that same kind of love. St. Bernard is one of the great saints of the church. He's a doctor of the church, a spiritual doctor of the church, of mystical theology, of that life between us and God, because he always talked about the love of God. And not in just some mamby-pamby sort of way that's super mystical and disconnected with reality, but in such a way that he recognized how deeply and how profoundly it was that God desired a relationship with him. The whole of St. Bernard's life, he was pondering this question, how is it that God, who is love, expresses his love? And how I have to find myself in the midst of that love? And as some other mystics later came on to say, that I need to make sure that love itself is loved. That's really what our Lord is calling us to here today. Within this Mass, yes, we need to, like the rich young man, recognize our relationship with those who are around us, to be jarred in that sense, to see that God is in the person next to us, and that is how we make sure that love is loved. Because love, who is God, stamps his mark upon humanity. So whatever side of the equation that we may find ourselves in today, whether that's on this extreme love of neighbor, but we forget about, we need to actually make it to Mass on Sundays, then we need to actually do those things which are necessary in building a relationship with Jesus Christ, or whether it's that we're so heavenly minded that we forget that God has put us on earth to accomplish a definite task, to aid those who are around us. Whatever side of that equation it is, God wishes us to have that perfection, which is to abandon everything for love. Love of God first, yes. Love of neighbor second. But the two cannot be split up between the two. Let's ask our Lord in these sacred mysteries to grant us a real realization of those things which are necessary for us to attain heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.